The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, the Memorial Day summer kickoff is on. Get massive savings all month long. And remember, it's backed by Morse. You can also save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. And there's also special financing available. See the dealer for details and visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, it's official. Summer's here and the savings are heating up. Brian Danahy, general manager at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, has the Memorial Day summer kickoff. Take advantage of holiday offers all month long, like 2018 XT5 crossovers, just $299, zero down. But that's not all. Get 0% financing 60 months on all new Cadillac models. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. Remember, that's EdMorseCadillacTampa.com.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here, back from his hiatus. And Ira Kaufman is in the house, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Ira, how are you? You look good. A little noise here tonight, but the people can't hear it because
I'm distracted here at Hooters. Some group just came in, dressed to the nines over there, Steven.
You're distracted at Hooters by a group.
Well, if you turn around and look at the group, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Perhaps it's
Let's
a pair.
Let's keep our eye on the prize
a
here.
A group of calendar girls?
Let's keep our eye on the prize. The prize is the 2018 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's always
speaking of prizes.
It's always on the prize, Ira. We just heard those great offers from Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Today you're sporting the lightning blue Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon shirt. Looking good, Sage.
I feel like I'm down 0-2. I can tell you that right now. I feel I'm up 2-0. I'm feeling my oats today.
You're always in the lead, Ira. Now, look, I got to ask you because you've been around this game for so long. We joke around, but this is your 40th season, Ira. 40th season around this game. And did you ever think in
your
life?
You know, he's right, Lee. I can't even argue with him this time.
Seriously?
Yeah, 79 Giants, first year.
So here we are, 18, that's 40. Sage, did you ever imagine that the Supreme Court would basically say, states, go ahead, legalize sports gambling, let it go, let it fly, and now there's going to be betting all over the country before you know it?
Simple answer. What took so long? What took so long? Why not get in on some of this gravy? If these maniacal bettors want to go into hock and bet big money, why not take a piece out of every bet, Lee, and maybe promote a new road, reinforce a bridge? Nothing wrong with that. You know, these cities are all crying poverty.
Fun health care.
I find some of these projections where, there might only be five states to do this within the next 5 years. I think that's hogwash. Mm. I think states are going to be running out to join the party.
Yeah, I had read a report about Florida. It's going to be a while for Florida. It's red tape, just a mess. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, people talk about you can't afford health care. Well, here's a way to fund the dang thing. You know, river of money. What's shocking to me is you would think the conservative judges on the court would have been against it. They were for it. Was it 7-2? All the Republicans and conservatives on the court voted for it. That was what was surprising to me. You know, you always think the Puritans didn't want it.
I think it'll attract the casual better. Steve, the hardcore better, and I'm looking at you, DeKemper, the hardcore better will remain, you know, unfazed, unaffected. But now if you got an app in your phone, you know, and I want to put $50 down on my Chiefs, Lee, against the Lions, I got it at the flick of a wrist. I don't have to fly to Vegas anymore.
You're right. And I read something about what they do in England. Sports Illustrated was on the ball. They contacted a bunch of sports books in England. You know, how do you guys do it over there?
Boy, do they bet on their soccer over there.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You talk about apps. Well, they have all kinds of prop in-game prop bets
they
live.
Do. They do.
Where, you know, if it's halftime, you could bet on, you know, how many possessions Team X will have.
Who's going to score fumbles. The next goal.
Yeah, that kind of really, really interesting. So this opens up a bank vault. And
you're thinking it may boost the value of some of these franchises.
Well, as a Cuban says, but I just think it's going to, you know, now you're going to have casinos advertising with teams. Lord knows how much money Mark Davis is going to get being in Vegas now. I mean, the naming rights. Well, they're going to have the naming rights, MGM. You know, MGM Stadium at Las Vegas for the Raiders?
People are going to gamble no matter what. you might as well siphon off some of the funds and put it to good use.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting here in Florida. I think they could get it done within a year. It's really not that complicated because all these states have to regulate it. So,
Steve, this is a rare victory for Chris Christie. He's been getting drubbed ever since he tried to take on McDonald in the presidential election.
Come on, Ira.
Yeah,
Ira, what are you, an expert in Jersey politics now?
Well, I know Christie was a big proponent.
Yeah,
and,
it was
and he feels,
huge.
He feels vindicated today.
Absolutely, but I think here in Florida...
He might have put down his fries and the hot dog in celebration.
And his Cowboys medallion.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's been very, very sleazy over the years that all the casino gambling, instead of going to already sanctioned wagering outlets like the racetracks and the dog tracks, they all went to the Indian casino. And the Indians have a full monopoly on casino betting where you can't pull a slot machine at Tampa Bay Downs. And the racing industry has been hurting, and the dog industry, that's going to be on the ballot to eliminate greyhound racing in Florida. But they've already had the outlets. And the state's been looking for a way to sort of throw a bone to these struggling outlets, like the racetracks and stuff. And for them to approve and come up with the language in the next session, next March, and approve it and get it into the racetracks that are already there, designed to take bets, piece of cake. I really think it's going to be about a year.
One thing I don't think is going to happen, Lee, I really don't, is I don't think you're going to walk into Raymond James Stadium and there's going to be a betting window over there. I don't think that's going to happen.
No?
I don't see that.
No chance. They'll never approve that because...
They'll make the appearance that nobody bets on football.
Well, they won't need to if you're going to have a phone app.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know what the NFL's going to do. What do you think? How do you think the NFL approaches this, Ira, from a PR standpoint? Are they going to embrace it? Are they going to wait and see? Well, are they going to fight it even more in some way?
Well, I mean, they've been embracing it all these years with the injury report. Lee, who's the injury report for? Some grandma in Oklahoma
Topeka?
City? No, you know, gamblers want to know the most updated information. You know, and you know what? Those injury reports, they're fairly accurate. When you really look at it, they're fairly accurate. Not sacrosanct, you know.
We always even know, Belichick?
Well, not Belichick. Well, Belichick lists 47 guys as doubtful. every week. But the NFL is going to take a cautious approach in the beginning, Steve, but they realize this is a force of nature that they can't turn back, Lee, I think.
Isn't the NBA being very proactive about this?
They have been for a long time. The NBA has been pushing it on the forefront. But the good news is, Ira, is for all of us here in the business, betting is going to do one big thing. Legalized betting is going to get people watching longer, which improves TV ratings. It's going to get people, the casual fan, is going to be reading a little more about the games online and afterwards because they have more of an interest. So anybody in sports media is going to be the big winner here.
And they want to know about practice reports.
Yeah.
Who's looking good? Who's hurt?
You know, I was talking about prop bets a minute ago that evidently they have this in England a lot. I was giving you examples. It's not England. It's locally. Steve's word. I was in hiatus last week. Had to meet my lawyer in St. Louis. He took me to a ball game. Cardinals and Twins and Cardinals and Cubs.
Looked like a nice balmy night.
Yeah, it was very nice, very pleasant night, especially for me. Well, my lawyer was telling me he went to a game one time. He didn't specify who the Cardinals were playing, but him and his group, and he said, his words, not mine, they got so trashed, they were taking prop bets on, you know, at the end of every half inning, if the umpire would throw the ball to the mound
or if
he would roll it to the mound.
Oh.
And he said to
I
this.
I hope we don't reach that point in the Buck press
and
box.
And he said to this day, every baseball game he watches, he focuses on that just in case he has to handicap it.
Wow.
So, Sage, more money for the NFL. You know what that means? Higher salaries. Salary cap goes up.
Salary cap goes up.
Franchises are worth more. The teams can do more. And it's just exciting stuff. But also, here's the interesting side of this. Ira, I wanted to get your take. You look at the XFL, which is coming, and the new league with Bill Polian, who's way at the top
Alliance
of the chain
of
there.
Something football or whatever.
Yes.
The AAF. You know, you're going to be able to gamble on those games, too. And that all of a sudden gives that league, those leagues, traction and fans that they never would have had before. It makes the whole thing, the NFL, I bet, is a little bit scared yet excited at the same time.
The one thing we've come to learn is the tried and true gambler will gamble on anything, Lee.
Yeah.
They'll gamble on anything.
Action.
They'll gamble on, you know, wrestling, maybe. And if you do that, you're really sick. You know, Lingerie football. Lee, that might be a betting line.
WNBA.
WNBA.
I can already see you, Ira. You're going to be over under on John Isner's top speed of the serve coming up. I see it already.
Well, Polian's League, by the way, not only is that going to help them because there's going to be interest, there's going to be lines, it's football, but they already have a TV contract. To the best of my knowledge, McMahon doesn't have a TV contract. He's got his own online wrestling network. They call it OTT. WWE's online only. Maybe he's going to use that. I don't know. But Polian, they not only have a TV contract, now with the gambling.
That gives them two toe holds up for success.
Exactly. That half these leagues that started in the last 20 years never had.
It's going to be fun, Ira. We're going to have
some
fun.
Speaking of gambling, I got $50 says you can't name who's going to start at right guard for the Buccaneers week one against New Orleans. How do you like that, Isbin?
Well, you know what? $50 says Derek Cutter doesn't know who's going to start at right guard week one.
It'll probably be Evan Smith. Yeah, you would think.
I don't know if nobody even knows yet. I mean, they'll roll Benenock out there and see how he run blocks.
You think it could be a guy that's not currently on the roster?
Exactly.
I don't think so. They like Benenock. They like him. You know how
much. He's got more experience at tackle.
You know, Cutter loves his guys. And unless there's an injury, I mean, he trusts Evan Smith. I think one of those guys will play. I don't think you're worried about a jailbreak if one of those guys is starting. But it doesn't mean they won't pick somebody up right after the first cuts. And, you know, like you wrote in your column, Ira, there's a lot of work to be done. You think Jason Light has a lot of work left to do.
I think he's done good work, Lee, but I think there's more to be done.
Which is a subject of your column.
I'm concerned about the right side. Look, how many times have you pointed out that DeMar Dotson might be breaking down? We love DeMar Dotson.
We love him.
And when he played last year, he was darn good.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably the best Bucs offensive lineman last year. I think you can make that argument.
I keep forgetting the figure, but I want to say in the last 3 years, Sweezy and Dotson combined have missed 37 games. In the last 3 years. Now, granted, one of those years, Sweezy was in Seattle. That's a significant amount on one side of a line. They missed that many games in the last 3 years.
I think Dot might have missed 16 or 18
something
in the
like
last
that.
3 years. And, of course, that pales in comparison to my concern at the cornerback position. I might be going crazy here, Lee. You call me off the ledge here, but there's 10 cornerbacks on the roster. I listed them on my column. If you take Grimes out of that mix, that was a good one, Lee. You got about four rookies, and then you got, you know, Josh Robinson, Fleming, you know, Ryan Smith. That's who you got. And, Lee, you know, week one, you know, Michael Thomas of the Saints. You know, if he's not a top 5 or 10 receiver, he's in the conversation.
Sure.
He's darn good. Week three, Mr. Antonio Brown is coming to town.
Ooh.
We saw what happened when Ryan Smith tried to cover Julio Jones. We don't want to go through that again, Lee. So,
well, also the Steelers have Juju Smith, who's very good.
I'd like to see a veteran corner added just in case Carlton Davis or Stewart struggle as rookies like most rookies do. Lee, I don't want to count on those guys, and I certainly don't want to count on Hargraves as an outside corner. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. I agree with you 150%. And I've been screaming this.
And that's if Grimes doesn't go down. How do you like that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been screaming this for months, and I know you and other people got angry when I said I was going to light candles if the Bucs drafted Ward number 7. And this is why. Exactly what you're talking about. To expect a rookie to be able to hang with Antonio Brown or Juju Smith or what's-his-face you mentioned, New Orleans. That's biting off more than you can chew, I think. Almost ridiculous expectations for a rookie to be able to play like a Pro Bowl corner. You know what? Lights on his last year of his contract. Cutter could be in danger. And are these guys going to bank their careers on a couple of rookies?
You know, in contrast, and it's not a bad thing as far as the D-line's concerned, Lee, but tell me if I'm wrong, Steve. They seem a little overdone at receiver / tight end and D-line. Now, I cut slack on D-line because the Eagles just showed us you can never have enough guys. And if you got 8 quality guys in a rotation, you're in pretty good shape there. And all of a sudden, your corners don't have to be outstanding. They got to be decent. But, Steve, you know, you look at the wide receiver / tight end, and you look at D-line, they're kind of stocked, maybe overstocked, if you can be.
Close.
And I think they're a little thin in a couple of other areas. They're a little thin. I didn't even mention safety, Lee.
I didn't
mention safety. So we'll see.
And
here comes the Kemper. Defending the Empire Strikes Back here. Here we go. Defend this organization.
Did you just call me DeKemper?
No. Here come this bit.
Look, every team's got some holes. I mean, what are you going to do? Every team, you got to pick and choose your holes and your battles and your, you know, your salary and all that. Now, I don't disagree with you at all. the thought of relying on a rookie cornerback with those first three games coming up, we know how difficult the schedule is, could be a job killer, a season killer right there. Yeah. But that's the bed that they've made for themselves. They're not going to find, outside of a unique trade, they're not going to find some excellent cornerback to walk in and get it done.
Unless the pass rush is hellacious. Can we count on that? Unless it's hellacious. If it's hellacious, that's going to help Carlton Davis a whole bunch.
Well, I'll just hearken to the Super Bowl. If I remember correctly, that vicious defensive front of the Eagles didn't get to Brady until the last couple minutes of the game.
You're right.
And, you know, perfect timing. They got him to force a pick, if I remember, or fumble.
That's
it was a
right.
fumble, and that
That's
may
right.
have won the game for him.
That's right.
But that wasn't until late in the game. And Brady had what one of the greatest games of his career.
Had a fantastic game.
Even with that great defense.
Yeah.
So
now that's Brady.
Sure. You're talking about one of the best. Yeah. Here's one for you while I'm thinking of it. Light being the last year of his contract and Cutter, you know, you would think they would need to beef up a little bit, get a vet. McClain's still out there, is he not? Roberto McClain, who did okay last
Robert
year for the
McClain,
Bucks.
Yeah,
you know, he already knows the system, so it's not like you're bringing someone green. I did a little research the other night. The Glazer family has only retained one coach who had consecutive losing seasons.
I heard you say that on the radio, and I said, that's got to be wrong, and I went over to my mind, I said, no, I think the Kemper's right.
And that was the man who won the team a Super Bowl, Chucky. So that doesn't look good for Cutter.
You know, Chucky's second and third years were losing
seasons
back to back. That's right.
So the glow of the Super Bowl, Vince Lombardi Trophy, was still blinding the Glazers, you could say.
Absolutely.
Let me just say, I personally have thrown everything out the window that I ever thought about the Glazers and predicting them, only because we always used to hear arrow pointing up. Well, you know what? The arrow wasn't pointing up last year. I understand they won the last game, but I'm not sure anything about last year makes a lot of sense. When you really look at it from an ownership perspective.
Unless they were using it as a Winston asterisk, injury year.
No, I'm talking about their offseason moves, Ira.
Oh, okay.
The fact that they said, hey, bring back the defensive coaches, and hey, if you want to fire Jay Hayes after we pay him $1 million for this year, sure, go ahead. But that's going to lead me to two things, Ira. First is Brenson Buckner and the new D-line coach, because it goes deeper than him just being a rah-rah guy. And the other thing, though, which we'll get to first, is FanRetreat.com. FanRetreat.com, that's your home for Bucks tickets, Lightning tickets, all event tickets. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code, and you're going to get a deal, just like you using a SeatGeek or a StubHub. But at FanRetreat.com, you can get all your plane tickets, your hotels, your rental cars, one stop, FanRetreat.com. And now what you want to do, you want to text TAKEOVER to 345-345, text TAKEOVER, 345-345. That's going to get you all the information on the Bourbon Street Takeover, the big opening day trip to New Orleans. The commish has been talking about it on Bucks Uncensored. Sage, Lee, that's sweet.
Buck fans love the New Orleans trip. I mean, year after year, I see that Southwest plane or Spirit
loaded.
Plane loaded with Buck fans.
How could you not? All the Absolutely restaurants, loaded. All the party places.
FanRetreat.com, check it out today. Get there, text 345-345, and the word you want to text is TAKEOVER. Now, Ira, Brenson Buckner, you know, big deal, boisterous D-line coach. You've seen 25 of them in your day, but this is a guy who is got some unique views. I wrote it up on Joe Bucks Fan, Ira. Buckner was asked during an interview last year about how he treats rookies, what he advises them. Essentially, he said, shut up, work hard, don't say a damn word, no rah-rah speeches. I don't want to hear that you were captain of your team last year. Grind, 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 hustle.
You ain't done a damn thing in this league, right?
Exactly, yeah. And eventually the veterans, if they see that, they'll come and embrace you. But otherwise, shut up. That's his attitude. And I've been told that Buckner has, his intensity has created a ripple effect through the organization. And another thing he said last year, I haven't written this up yet, but he talked about how he preaches to his D-line, we are the foundation of the team, and we are not going out there, and we're not going to let down the offense and the special teams. This is it. And if I have some weak brick, he ain't getting on the field in my foundation.
Did you say brick with a B?
Brick.
Yes, you did. Brick.
You got it.
I don't want to be naive, and I don't want to be taken in by a huckster. But you tell me if I'm wrong. I'm as excited, if not more, about the addition of Brenson Buckner as I am about Jason Pierre-Paul. I'm telling you, this guy has impressed the heck out of me. I like the way he carries himself. I love his passion. He's got Jameis Winston passion
on the other side
of the ball.
You're right.
Quan does too, you know. Mm-hmm. And, boy, I wish he was coaching Quan. That'd be one hell of a room during the week. But, you know, we're going to hear from Buckner this week, Lee, at One Buck Place on Wednesday. We're going to have plenty of questions for him. Maybe we can get him privately. We'll see, you know. But we're definitely going to get him as a group at least. And, look, I only saw him in front of that podium once. I fell under a trance there. You know, I think he's the best we've seen here since Marinelli, and we know how good Marinelli is.
You know, that's an interesting analogy. Both outgoing type A personalities.
And yes, he is. And guys, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I believe Cutter and Light are also taken in under Buckner's spell to the degree that I think he played a huge role in the offseason acquisitions up front. I think if Buckner didn't want Bo Allen, Bo Allen's not a Buck.
Interesting.
Vita Vea, he's got to weigh in on him. He may not have been the main driving force, but he had a powerful voice in that room, Lee, and he's going to continue to have it. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, you know, I think Buckner is the type of personality this team needed. He comes in with credibility. He played the game at a fairly high level.
He's got juice, Lee.
He's got, yes. Smith, nice guy. Yeah, every once in a while Hard Knocks caught him cussing, but that was from the coach's box.
Tactical, you know, scheme.
Yeah, and Duffner will get him on a little bit, but not much. But Duffner's an excellent coach. Mark Duffner, linebacker's coach I'm speaking of. Jay Hayes was a laid-back kind of guy. I think this is what they needed. They needed someone and kick a trash can. You know, cuss a guy out if he needs to be cussed out. Not that, you know, a lot of that is shtick into some people. I don't think Buckner's shtick. There's the episode, All or Nothing. It's sort of like Hard Knocks, only Hard Knocks stops at training camp. All or Nothing, it's an NFL Films documentary. They do the whole season. They've done a couple with the Cowboys. They're currently on Amazon Prime. They have the Cowboys on now. But a couple years ago, they did the Cardinals. And there's a scene, it was like seventh or eighth week of the season.
He wasn't hugging a tree, was he, DeKemper?
Oh, no. He wasn't hugging anything. They were in the defensive line room. You know, you got veterans in there like Calais Campbell. He cussed these guys out. I mean, turn your ears green. You should have been doing this. You didn't do that. And I'm cleaning it up significantly. You cowards do that. The guy that does that's a coward. Are you a coward? And I mean, he just dressed these guys down. What you wouldn't believe it. But he's got street cred because he played the game. It isn't like some guy maybe came out of college or something. He's got street cred.
And he was part of a stellar front four.
That's right.
Who at the time thought they were better than the Bucs front four with Sapp and Simeon Rice.
And not just.
And you know what? It was pretty close.
Well, and that's another thing. The Bucs defensive coaches, before Buckner got here, if you're 23 years old, these guys are almost your grandfather. Whereas Buckner, he's like their big brother. You know, it wasn't that long ago he was playing.
I'll tell you this right now, Mr. Risbitz, right now. If they go into the Superdome, they get one sack and two quarterback hits, and they lose 31-27, Buckner may not let the defensive line get back on the team plane to go back to Tampa. He's going to be that upset about it. He's going to lay the law down. He's not going to waste any time.
Ira, the man's not a lunatic. I mean, it's one game. Calm down. Let's go. Now, one thing I got to point out about Buckner... Because
he just called me a lunatic, DeKemper.
I said the man is not a lunatic.
Oh, okay.
Buckner. Buckner's not a lunatic. Listen, let me throw a dose of reality into this interview. I listen to Buckner. And one thing about Buckner that's important to realize, the Cardinals 2 years ago, they drafted a guy, I always forget how to say his name, but Robert Nademchi, I think.
Yeah. Bust.
Defensive tackle.
High pick.
First round pick, coached by Buckner. For the last 2 years, the guy's been a bust, absolute bust. I think he's got like five tackles and no sacks, and he's been a total bust. Now they say now that Arizona's switching to a 4-3 this year, maybe he'll wake up. They're giving him another year, but Buckner made it clear in the interview that he was what I heard him on. He basically was saying, "Look, I'm going to coach him. I'm going to paint them the picture. I'm going to do everything, but I've been a player. It comes from the player." There's only so much a coach is ever going to do. And if the light doesn't go on, if he doesn't get it, it's just not going
to
happen.
This guy that Steve's talking about real quick?
Yeah.
The reason why he went to the Cardinals were a playoff team. The reason why he slid down, I remember when he was coming out, it was either Ole Miss or Mississippi State, one of the two. He had a world of talent, but they always wondered about his heart. It was a big issue, and that's why he slid. I mean, he's built the way you want a defensive lineman built. I mean, he's got all the skills you could ever want, but they didn't know about his heart, and that's why he slid so much. So the fact that he's a bust, people thought it was a, you know, it was a boom or bust kind of pick. Either he was going to explode or he was going to be a stiff, and right now it looks like he's a stiff.
One thing I'm pretty confident about Buckner is, now look, he doesn't have the ultimate say like, you know, Mike Smith's above him. He's an assistant. But if Bo Allen's out playing Vita Vea, Bo Allen should play.
Absolutely.
You did not have that kind of confidence last year when Swaggy Baker came in as a targeted free agent. And I remember talking to Clinton McDonald, you know, within a week and commiserating with McDonald. And we were both basically saying, I got no shot. I got no shot to start.
Wow.
Baker's coming in.
That was a mistake.
And McDonald played fairly well.
Yes, he did.
Especially a comparative to Baker, and all of a sudden McDonald's a backup.
That's on one man. His name is Dirk Cutter. That's what the head coach picks who gets on that field. So, but that's a, you know, it was a mess of a situation. I wanted to throw in when you guys were talking about cornerbacks, the one guy I really saw Mike Smith unload on in a way that was just off the chain was last year in Jacksonville. He went bananas on Ryan Smith who was just awful that day. Rex Ryan was I was standing next to Rex Ryan. I remember saying it on
the
podcast.
Were these the workouts or were these?
Joint practices.
Joint practices.
And Rex Ryan is sitting there saying, or standing right next to me saying, this guy played some safeties. Like, you know, you should be a smarter, better corner if you play a little safety. What is with this kid? He's terrible. You know, he was just going off. And Mike Smith was yelling at him all over the field. What are you doing? So Mike Smith can get tough, but it's kind of sad that the Bucs needed a Buckner type. But on the positive side, he's here. And I think if that D-line can really just be a pack of wild dogs, even if they're not as talented as we might want them to be, hopefully that'll rub off, and it's got to get better.
I wouldn't feel this way about the D-line if Buckner was still working with the same guys as last year. I mean, this guy's not a miracle worker.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is you got a vibrant, dynamic assistant coach who's got a lot to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
At least on paper.
Yes.
That's reason for optimism.
Here's the $64,000 question. Is Gerald McCoy going to show up in a samurai outfit or a Batman costume?
You know what? I think he's probably going to think, how's this going to go over with my new defensive line coach? And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it is
a
good
thing. I guarantee Brenton Buckner didn't show up at Panthers camp in a kimono.
No.
I guarantee it.
Well, here, kimono, that's right.
Two fun things about Buckner, Ira. You know, I was at rookie mini camp Friday before I had this bizarre illness, whatever you want to call it.
And buck fever, it's called.
Buck fever. And so Jason Light.
Is it contagious?
Jason Light comes over to talk to me. Now, I can't say what Jason Light said, but I know what I can say what I said to him. And I said, you know, we were talking about the D line. And I said,
did you tell Light you were running 103 fever so he could back off a little bit? It's common courtesy.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
All right, go ahead.
So I said to Jason, I said, you know, if you really look at the depth on the D line, if Buckner could just work his magic with 6 out of 8, you're good. And then they've never had so much competition. And combined with the new faces, there's competition. And if two of the guys suck and the rest are okay this year, so what? I mean, 6 good guys, that's a rotation right there. So encouraging, to say the
and
least.
And who's lost in the shuffle, Lee? And I think it's a positive sign. Noah Spence.
You're right. No one is.
The fact they're not counting on him, I think that's marvelous.
And you make a very good point. He's the X factor. If he can come out and get, say, 6 sacks, 7, that's great.
As a third down guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great. I mean, obviously you want to see more, but let's not get greedy. I was going to say Will Golson, and he should be forgotten. The year he had last year, he's lucky he's got a job yet.
Yeah. I expected a lot more out of Golson last year.
They all did.
I know you did too.
Well, we'll see. We've talked about this before. I just hope they let Buckner pick that starting defensive line on opening day, no matter whose name is on the back of the jersey.
Don't forget, Pierre Paul plays a lot of left end. He might take Golston's starting job.
Oh, if he doesn't, there's something wrong.
Well, I mean, depending on what side you want him on.
I remember talking to Cutter at the owners' meeting, and I believe Cutter said, in theory, on passing downs, JPP on the left,
Curry inside.
Curry inside with McCoy, Noah Spence on the right.
I think that would be ideal. Mm-hmm. I think that would be ideal.
All right, Ira, we'll file this under slightly ridiculous, but I do want your sage take. I go through all the pictures on Buccaneers.com. They put out a a photo gallery.
Which cheerleader are you talking about? Which cheerleader? Go ahead. You may continue.
All right, touche. Touche, Ira. They put out a photo gallery from each practice. And last week, there was not one picture from the photo gallery last week. And I'm not playing X-Files here, Ira. Not one picture of Jameis Winston throwing a football. Now, if I'm the photographer...
Today there was, wasn't there? I'm like Steve. I was doing the same thing. Today, it was on Instagram. They showed Jameis throwing a football on Instagram.
If I'm the team photographer and I'm taking pictures of Jameis and I'm putting together a gallery and there's 150 pictures over 3 days...
Can you have one photo?
Isn't it a little weird? I mean, I have to think that there's something that might be behind that. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. But with your wisdom, Ira, is that just stupid stuff?
You know, Lee, Isbitz has earned a well-deserved reputation for taking, you know, a little kernel, and the next thing you know, he's got a boiling pot of water over there. You're not suggesting that Winston's right shoulder is still bothering him, are you, Isbitz? You don't know what to think at this point.
I'm not suggesting anything. It just seemed very odd, considering he's the face of the franchise. Maybe somebody said, hey, let's not put as many Jameis pictures up. For other reasons.
Well,
I don't know.
Lee seems to think that maybe there's a couple of Winston pictures up
there. There was one I saw today. He was wearing one of these Chucky visors, a Buck Chucky visor. He was throwing a pass.
You know, Steve, I thought you were going was there are no pictures of Deshaun Jackson or Jason Pierre.
Yeah, there's no JPP pictures.
Yeah,
no, none of those either, but that's to be expected.
I got to interject real quick. There was a guy on Twitter this morning. He sent a picture. He goes, hey, this looks like JPP. It was a picture of the rookie minicamp. With someone wearing 90. The only people that were on the practice fields this past weekend were rookies and guys trying out. That's it. The veterans were nowhere near the fields. There might have been some guys working out in the weight room. Nobody was on the field outside of rookies. So the number 90, whoever that was, you know, they had like 50 guys, 60 guys,
right.
Numbers being worn that belonged to
it
other
people. It
was not
JPP.
It was not JPP.
Of course, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, they are our sponsors and presenters of the podcast. Get your car shopping, your SUV shopping, your crossover shopping.
We had a nice little visit there last week.
We did, and we're going to hear more about that soon. I'm excited about that. But, yeah, good time. Good time. They treat you like the sage over there.
Boy, they do show a lot of respect. And, Steve, you know, I did walk around that showroom. I wasn't kidding around. Boy, it's quite impressive. You know, one after the other, one model, different colors, different accoutrements. There's your word over there, Lee. It's quite a showroom. Everybody should experience that.
As you call it, high cotton.
High cotton, baby.
All right, Ira, I got to run this by you. Now, I know you're going to make a face. You're going to either laugh. You're going to say blah, 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 whatever you're going to say.
You want to put me on the spot, Steven. You want to put me on the spot.
So, Ira, Russell Shepard was cut by the Panthers. Now, the Buccaneers made an effort to re-sign him last year, and they didn't want to pay him what he was looking for, number three receiver kind of money. And he got it in Carolina. Special teams ace, returned some kicks for the Panthers last year. He can catch the football. The guy is a big fan of Dirk Koetter. I talked to Shepard on the side when they came back to Tampa last year. He was a captain on this team, special teams captain. And everybody saw how the Bucs allowed two special teams touchdowns, a kickoffs return last year. And
which is a big reason they got a new kicker.
Huge reason. And, you know, Shepard is still in his prime. The guy can play football. He's not any kind of all-star world beater. He's Russell Shepard. But Carolina supposedly just wanted him to take a pay cut. He said no. They called his bluff. So there he is on the street. Now, we hear this rhetoric all the time from coaches and GMs. Can never have too many good football players. Well,
rhetoric.
The Bucs, if Jason Light showed up here at Hooters with Dirk Koetter, they would say that Russell Shepard's a good football player who knows the playbook, who's an inspiring guy, guys like him. Do you just sign this guy and throw some caution to the wind here and get more competition for this special teams unit?
You don't have to sell me any further on Russell Shepard. You know, Lee, you just don't know it. But if you add a guy like Russell Shepard to special teams, he just might win you a game. He might win you one game. And how are you going to put a price on that, considering the stakes this year?
Thank you.
Of the regime.
Thank you, Lee. Yes.
He might win you a game.
Mm-hmm.
With a saving tackle that stops a 70-yard kickoff return.
Or a 40-yard kick return to set up a short field.
Or a forced fumble.
Yes.
You know, so, look, if the money's right for both sides, Lee, and there's no reason from a Bucs perspective it shouldn't be,
mm-hmm.
I'd welcome him back with open arms. I think he'd go. He'd be a big hit back in the locker room.
I agree.
I think the rest of the Bucks would love having him back.
Well, I tell you what. I'll just say a heavy hitter. Won't say his name. Texted me one time last year, matter of fact. And I know I'd written some story about wide receivers, and he's like, look, I think I'm going to mention this on a previous podcast. He said, this guy said, look, if you're not a starting wide receiver, you sure as hell better be able to play special teams. And that's why Tyquan Underwood, that's why Lewis Murphy have difficult time finding jobs. They can't play special teams, and they're not starting wide receivers. That's why when Lewis Murphy plays, unfortunately for him, he's usually on a lousy team because he's a starting receiver on a lousy team. Russell Shepard. You can't tell me he's a better special teams player than Freddie Martino? Come on.
What's the word we hear from Cutter all the time? Upgrade. Upgrade. Looking for upgrades.
Yeah, well.
He's an upgrade.
Absolutely. But you know what? They just drafted this kid in the fifth round, Justin Watson. Now, there's no evidence that he can tackle anybody, right? He's a receiver with 4.4 speed and an interesting prospect. But you know what? Some teams go to opening day with six receivers, seven receivers. It's not unheard of. The Bucs did that once under Raheem. And, you know, you got to make some decisions out there. Josh Robinson, he's their special teams ace. Guy got banged up a lot last year. The one time he was covering a punt, he couldn't cover the guy, and they caught the ball in Carolina. And he's never played on defense in 2 years. I don't know. Let these guys compete. I don't know. I would sign Shepard in a heartbeat.
I think you run a lot of guys past me on this podcast, Lee. This one, I can't even mount a sensible argument against bringing him back. He's popular in the room, too.
Yeah, very much so.
There's no negatives on Shepard. There's no negatives. You know, he's not going to go out and catch 44 passes and threaten Adam Humphrey's job. Yeah. And they don't expect that. So, to answer your question, I bring him back.
All right, Sage, good answer. Now, as we head toward the home stretch of the podcast, Ira, rookie minicamp. You know, Lee was out there. You know, it's rookie minicamp. I know you said on the last podcast, hey, you know, it's rookie minicamp. These guys are running around and whatnot.
Not going to read too much into it.
Ronald Jones was your guy to watch. Cutter said he showed some juice. You know, I saw him move around a little bit. It's not that exciting, but you have some questions for Lee about minicamp. You want to run by him?
Well, one thing I mentioned about Ronald Jones is he didn't show off much pass-catching skills at Southern Cal. The passes he did catch were little dump-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, did you see anything to give you a gauge about his pass catching skills?
It doesn't look like he was a liability. They threw a couple long passes to him, one he hauled in. I look at underwear football, which is what this was, for fans out there, listeners that don't know what I'm referring to. Basically, underwear football is no pads. They can't wear pads. It's flag football with wearing helmets. That's what it is. It's no different than flag football. There's zero hitting. I mean, zero hitting. And the guys are wearing shorts and their T-shirts are jerseys. That's what their T-shirts are. The only difference is their helmets. And at times, Cutter had them take their helmets off, and they're running plays.
Did his quickness jump out?
His quickness ran out there. But I look at underwear football with a jaundiced eye. Since Joe Buck's fans started almost 10 years ago, we're on the cusp of 10 years, every guy that's looked like a stud in underwear football either never made the team or stunk like Kenny Bell. And so I'm very, very... cynical about underwear football. But what I can tell you is Cutter said that Ronald Jones brings a dimension to the Bucks. His words, not mine. They do not have.
Yes.
That's speed. Yes. Now, about Jones, and I'm very critical of this outfit I'm going to refer to. Very critical. But I'll give them credit where credit's due. They had one of their, it's a PFF tribe. They had one of their well-trained orangutans document how many targets Ronald Jones had. He had 15 targets in the passing game. 14 he caught. That's a pretty good ratio. To his credit, you know, if you ask him about...
PFF is documenting a Bucks rookie camp?
No. At USC last year, he had 15 targets.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
not that. Oh, okay. No. You know, and this is a fair answer. I asked Darius Geis at the Combine this very same thing. And I asked Jenna Lane asked Ronald Jones this. But I asked Geis the same thing, and he gave me basically the same answer Ronald Jones gave Jenna after one of the practices last weekend. Asking him about pass catching. And he had limited touches in the pass game. He's like, well, you know, I wasn't asked to do that, which is true. And why would you? Guy's getting 7 yards a carry. You know, why would you throw the ball?
Steve, another way to look at this, with Ronald Jones being drafted early in the second round, we all remember what Cutter said at the end of the 2016 season. Top priority. number one priority. Explosive plays. Explosive plays.
He is
they,
one.
They failed last
Ooh,
year.
Oh, badly.
They failed big time, mostly because DeSean Jackson wasn't effective.
Mm-hmm.
Yards after catch from other guys, Mike Evans, negligible.
Nothing.
Negligible. So they failed. And the running game produced very little in that regard. As I've documented, they had zero runs of 40 yards, five runs of 20 yards. Terrible numbers. Mm. That's why Ronald Jones was drafted early in the second round. Not because he's going to break 70 tackles and get that extra yard.
Like Barry Sanders
Boom.
Or something. Yeah.
They want yards in a hurry. And they didn't have that last year.
Well, as you well know, Ira, Cutter always talks about the biggest difference between losing and winning, aside from turnovers, this is Cutter's board, it's not mine. Aside from turnovers, is explosive plays.
No question.
He always talks about that.
Dirt Cutter says a lot of things. I'm ready for these games to start, Ira. I'm sick of chatting already.
Well, our next podcast is going to be over at One Buck Place, Stephen.
We will be at One Buck on Wednesday doing our thing for Thursday's podcast. And any pearls of wisdom, Ira, as we head on out the door?
I got 20. Speaking of sports gambling, I got $20 on the Lightning in Game 3. How do you like that, Stephen?
All right.
$20.
A sage prediction. Get out of here, Ira.